August 31st, the Feast of the Girdle of the Holy Birth Giver of God. After her dormition, falling asleep, the Holy Theotokos gave her girdle, sash, to the Apostle Thomas. That girdle was later brought to Constantinople and kept in a sealed reliquary in the Church of the Mother of God at Blakerney, the Royal Foundation, Sabudzbina, of Empress Pulcheria. This reliquary was never opened until the time of Emperor Leo the Wise, 886-912 A.D., Leo's wife, the Empress Zoe, became mentally ill and, according to a mysterious vision, she desired that the girdle of the Holy Theotokos be placed on her. The emperor implored the patriarch, and the reliquary was opened and the girdle was removed and placed on the ailing empress. The empress was immediately healed. This feast was instituted in commemoration of this miracle. One part of the girdle is to be found in Zugdid, Georgia, that is to say, the daughter of Emperor Romanus was healed with the aid of this girdle, and later, when her father married her to the Georgian Emperor Abukaz, she took a part of that girdle with her. By order of the Russian Emperor Alexander I, a special church was built in Mingrelia in Zugdid, where that part of the miracle-working garment of the Holy Theotokos is kept. Saint Gennadius, Patriarch of Constantinople. Gennadius succeeded Saint Anatolius as Patriarch. He was a contemporary of Saint Marcion, January 10th, and Saint Daniel the Stylite, December 11th. During his time, the glorious Studite Monastery was founded and named after the Roman senator Studius, who came to Constantinople and with the blessing of Gennadius built the Church of Saint John the Forerunner and alongside it the monastery. Gennadius was very gentle and restrained. He would not ordain anyone who did not know the entire Psalter by heart. He presided at a local council in Constantinople, at which simony in the church was anathematized. He worked miracles, and in a vision, learned of his death. Gennadius governed the church for 13 years, and peacefully presented himself to the Lord in the year 471 A.D., the priestly martyr Cyprian. Cyprian was born of unbelieving parents, and himself was educated in polytheism. He became famous in Carthage as a teacher of philosophy and rhetoric. He was married, but when he became a Christian, he ceased to live with his wife and dedicated himself to laborious study of Holy Scripture day and night, and perfected his character. Because of his unusual virtues, he was chosen as a presbyter, and soon after that, as a bishop. As much as he was merciful toward Christians, so was he firm toward Christians. He wrote many works of instruction, guided by the Holy Spirit, especially vehemently wrote against idolatry, Judaism, and the Novatian heresy. Beautiful and sweet is his work concerning virginity, as well as of martyrdom, and about charity, about patience, the Lord's Prayer, and so forth. He suffered and died at the time of Valerian and Gallian in the year 258 A.D. Before his death, he prayed to God, blessed the people, and left 25 gold coins to be given to the executioner who would behead him. The unattainable greatness and generosity of a true Christian. St. John, Metropolitan of Kiev. John was a Bulgarian by birth. He came to Kiev in the year 1080 A.D., and immediately attained such esteem that he was soon elevated to the throne of the Metropolitan See. John governed the church for 8 years. He wrote an epistle to Pope Clement, in which he reprimanded him because of the innovations which the Roman Church introduced. He died peacefully in the year 1089 A.D. Hymn of Praise, the Holy Priestly Martyr Cyprian.
Adornment of the Church, Pride of Carthage, before and after the death of Cyprian the priest, in word and deed the faithful he instructed, the pure and chaste ones especially praising. Chastity, says he, is the sanctity of the organs. From the chains of passions it is freedom, and the source of purity, the adornment of morality, the dignity of the body and the court of modesty, the peace of a home. Chastity is the crown of harmony. Chastity is silence, the absence of anxiety, when from the body the spirit of man withdraws, and into the realm of its own it enters, and of the inner world perceives the luxury, then the body to interfere it does not allow, with insane passions, with various desires, from worries deprived, with empty luxury, luxury to us, and adorned woman does not proclaim, rather an impure soul, and its sinfulness. O golden freedom from desires of vanity, precious treasure of only a saint, chastity is freedom, chastity is silence, from the Son of God, both are gifts. O Son of God, O good Lord, grant us the glory of chastity and freedom.
Reflection. Christians do not believe in kismet, fate, or destiny. Even if God determines the chief lines of our life, He, according to our prayers and merits, can change them. Thus, He prolonged King Hezekiah's life for 15 years. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus said the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add unto your days 15 years. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 5. And to the venerable Deus, July 19th, he likewise prolonged his life for 15 years. God extended the life of Saint Basil the Great, according to the prayer of the saint, for one day, until he baptized the Jew, Joseph, his physician. But as God can, by prayer, prolong life, so he can shorten it because of sin. Emperor Anastasius adhered to the Severian heresy, so-called the acephalites, the headless ones, who spread the foolishness that the church does not need bishops and priests, but rather that everyone unto himself is a bishop and a priest, and that everyone has the right, in his own way, to interpret Holy Scripture, and to teach others as he understands and believes. In vain did St. John the Patriarch counsel the emperor to return to the truth of orthodoxy, and not only did the emperor not accept the counsel, but rather ill-treated the patriarch in various ways, and contemplated to have him banished. One night, the emperor saw in a dream an awesome man on an exalted throne, who held a book in his hand. This man opened the book, found the name of Emperor Anastasius, and said, I have wanted to permit you to live for a while longer, but because of your heresy, behold, I am erasing 14 years from your life. And he erased something from the book. Terrified, the emperor jumped up from his dream and related his dream to his followers. After a few days, thunder struck the emperor's place and killed Emperor Anastasius. Contemplation. To contemplate the rejoicing of David in the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6. How David transferred the Ark of the Covenant from Baal of Judah to Jerusalem, and how out of joy he danced before the Ark. How Michal, his wife, despised David for dancing shamelessly before the ark in the sight of women. How God punished Michal with barrenness for her capricious judgment, so that Michal had no offspring to the day of her death. Homily about the power and the mission of Christ, as Isaiah prophesied. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance to our God. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 2. This great and program prophecy the Lord Jesus read at the beginning of his saving work before the Jews in Nazareth. And having read this, he sat down and said, Today is this scripture fulfilled. St. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. One of the darkest prophecies for the Jewish scribes and priests, he read, closed the book, and said, Today is this scripture fulfilled. None of the Jews dared to touch this prophecy, for no one knew to whom this prophecy pertains. 7 centuries have passed since this prophecy was spoken and written, and no one knew to whom it pertains. And when that one Christ came, upon whom this prophecy pertains, he read it and applied it to himself. Thus our great Lord justified his prophet and presented himself to the world. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why does he speak so when he is equal to the Spirit as he is to the Father? As St. Chrysostom interprets, it is for the sake of witnessing to the people. He does not say the grace of the Spirit is upon me, for the grace of the Spirit is upon the faithful people, but the Spirit himself is upon him, as was manifested on the Jordan River. The Spirit is the witness of the Son, and the Son was never without the Spirit for one moment. The Lord Jesus often mentions the Father and the Holy Spirit, first out of infinite love toward the Father and the Spirit, and love always ascribed its own to others, and second, for the sake of instruction, to proud men, that they do not emphasize themselves, but rather to give honor to others, equal to themselves. Everything else that is said in this wonderful prophecy, the Lord fulfilled by his miraculous works. Word for word, he came primarily to proclaim the mercy of God to men, but at the same time to proclaim the dread judgment to those who would despise and reject that mercy. This is the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, the prophet of God, the true prophet. Brethren, let us venerate Isaiah, whose God-inspired mouth foretold the Savior and our salvation, and let us worship without ceasing our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship you, our Lord and Savior, and we give you thanks for your all-wise plan for our salvation. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen.